Joining us now, he's one of our favorite guests on the show, former president of the PGA of America and author Ted Bishop. Ted, welcome back into the golf shop.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me.
So, it's a U.S. Open, and I'm going to ask you right off the bat here, what do you think of the setup at Shinnecock compared to the last three U.S. Opens we've had there?
Oh, you know, I think the weather has been a big factor, particularly if you compare it with the last setup at Shinnecock. And I was actually speaking late yesterday afternoon with Cale Bigelow, who's the head of the agronomy and turf management department at Purdue, and he's there on site. And it was for a better part of the day. It was in the 60s. It was cool. Obviously, they've had some wind up there. I think it's been really difficult to get the golf course dried out and probably have it playing as hard and fast as they want. Based on what kind of the spring weather has been in the New York metropolitan area this year. But, if you look at the scores, I mean, it certainly meets the criteria of some of the past U.S. Opens. Obviously, I only got one guy under par, so I haven't seen anything that I really haven't liked so far.
Yeah, well, so when you were PGA, president of the PGA of America, I mean, I know Kerry Haig does some setup for the PGA of America. I mean, how much input did you have into, the setup of the course? Did you kind of give a direction or, kind of give the listeners a feel for it?
No, I mean, we as officers would have had absolutely zero input in the course setup. I mean, that's what we hired Kerry Haig to do, and that's obviously what Mike Davis does for the USGA, and Mike has been doing that for a long, long time. And I would think the same thing, having worked rules at a couple of U.S. Opens and worked, around Mike during those championships, I think the same thing would be true for any U.S. Open. But, that's what those people do pretty much day in and day out. And in Mike's case, he's setting up the championships, all the USGA championships, the major USGA championships. So I don't think anybody's going to tell him what to do. Nobody really tells Kerry Haig what to do. Those guys that do that for a living, they're very well prepared when they get to the site. They've been there multiple times in lead-up visits. They've got a very close relationship with the golf course superintendent. They will work hand in hand with that person, in course setup. And a lot of the listeners may not realize this, but when you're scheduling major championships, everything they've done last fall and this spring at Shinnecock has been geared towards the U.S. Open, and that's true in the case of every major championship.
Yeah, well, what I don't know, from a fan's perspective, and you may have some different insight than I would, but from a fan's perspective, I almost feel like Kerry Haig is the one that's actually getting it right year after year, setting up the PGA Championship. I think, I don't know, I get the U.S. Open and scores close to par. We've kind of got away from that. Chambers Bay got a little bit weird. Even Erin Hills last year, the fairways were probably too wide, too firm, too fast, the combination of those two things. I mean, when you look at last year, they had a record 44 scores under par in that first round. This year, we had only four, mostly due to weather conditions. But I don't know. I just feel like Kerry Haig and the PGA Championship have it right where, good shots get rewarded and bad shots can lead to, bogeys very quickly, but, can also lead to doubles and others, where I feel like sometimes a U.S. Open setup doesn't necessarily reward a good shot. I mean, I even go back to Thursday, and I didn't get to see a whole lot of the coverage, but I mean, I watched somebody like Jason Day hit a shot on that first hole, difficult first hole in very tough wind conditions, and yeah, he did land the ball right next to the flag, but next thing you know, he's having to chip back from 40 yards from where the ball landed, and I think that gets a little weird sometimes.
Yeah, well, I don't disagree with anything that you're saying, Mark, and I think that. One thing you have to keep in perspective is this. The PGA of America, when they would go to a PGA championship site, if you look at the venues that they've hosted these sites on, and maybe where you're at right now being an exception at Kiawah Island as it relates to facilities that have hosted multiple major championships, you know, before maybe a PGA championship has been played there. It's been their second, third, fourth PGA championship. They're more traditional venues, okay? Now, the one thing that I think that you would have to say about the USGA and their site selection is that certainly they've kind of rolled the dice and they've gambled on some new and different sites. And you mentioned two in Chambers Bay and Erin Hills. I get back to one of the opens during my time as PGA president at Marion. And, I mean, that was a gamble. That was a roll of the dice because many people had said that that course was obsolete from a distance standpoint. And even though there were a few critical things said about the course setup, I would take my hat off to Mike Davis again in terms of having the courage to go back to a site like that and really make it work. And it was, you know, the rough was tough, the fairways were narrow, and he offset the lack of distance with things like that. And I think that if there's a difference, and maybe it's in their personalities. I never really thought much about this. I feel like I know them both well. I call them both friends. Carey's not what I would call a risk taker. And, you know, he's going to play pretty close to the vest in everything that he does. His philosophy with the PGA Championship is he wants the players to be rewarded for good shots. It's pretty interesting if you look at the winning scores in the PGA Championship. They're not going to vary much. I mean, they're going to be somewhere between 8 and 12 under par normally for 72 holes. And Mike, on the other hand, is a lot more of a risk taker. And he's not afraid to really kind of put himself out there on the line. He obviously is a guy that can take criticism pretty well. And he just kind of continues to do, you know, what he does. So they're kind of like two starting pitchers in baseball that have got completely different repertoires in how they would, you know, approach the game. And I think that I think it's good for golf. I mean, I remember very clearly, you know, watching that 1974 U.S. Open at Wingfoot that Hale Irwin won, and just watching, you know, the golf course just annihilate the players, and you know, it was kind of fun to watch, and I think that's one of the things that for a lot of fans makes the U.S. Open appealing and different than the other major championships.
Yeah, I mean it's funny, and you know one of the golf courses coming up that has been a U.S. Open course that's now going to be a PGA Championship course is Bethpage Black, and I can't wait to see the setup for that. I mean, we've seen the setup for U.S. Opens and the lengthening of it, and you know guys complaining that there's a 250 or 260 yard carry off of a couple tee boxes just to get it to the fairway, and I can't wait to see it from a PGA perspective because I think it's going to be an absolutely awesome course. And the fact that it's, you know, it's moving to a May time frame is going to make it even more interesting.
Well, it is going to make it more interesting, and I think that, you know, this would have been a year. And I've seen some comments from the superintendent of Bethpage where he said, well, I'm glad we don't have the PGA Championship this year and glad it's next year just based on the severity of the winter and the late spring and some of the early conditions they've had. And I think that, you know, it is going to challenge Carey from the standpoint that the course is probably going to be wetter, no doubt, in May than it would have been in August. So it's going to make it play longer. But, again, I think you'll see that course setup be adapted to whatever the conditions are. And he may play it shorter than they would play a U.S. Open. And I still think you're going to see the winning score in that PGA Championship be somewhere in that 8 to 12 under par range. Versus what you would have seen when you played a U.S. Open there.
Now, do you?
Which, by the way,
my contention
under, the last one was played under extremely wet conditions, if you remember.
Exactly. Oh yeah, very very wet conditions. I don't know if you can get much wetter conditions. But you know, one of the things that I've talked about on the show a bunch about course setup is I would actually like to see. And it obviously it's going to be tough to do because you know you're dealing with Mother Nature, but you know, in a situation with the U.S. Open, especially like at a place at Erin Hills last year, I mean, when they opened the fairways up so wide and you saw guys catching slopes and you know, Brooks Koepka hitting, you know, drives 370 yards and with a three wood and stuff like that. You know, ideally, I would like to see maybe a way to soften, you know, if we water the fairways and soften them up just a little bit so that, you know, there is a premium being put on the fairways. If you narrow them down and soften them up so that the ball is not rolling out into rough, you know, if the guys land it in the fairway and maybe it only rolls 10 yards instead of rolling 50, 60, and 70 yards, and then you keep the greens a little bit firmer so that when these guys are hitting longer shots in, they have to plan a little bit better. I think there has to be a happy medium there somewhere, doesn't there, Ted? Because, you know, watching these guys, even yesterday, I mean, guys were still getting some pretty decent rollout in these fairways. There has to be a happy medium somewhere between distance and accuracy.
Well, you're right, but let me tell you something. As somebody that spends really a lot of his time now doing the duties of golf course superintendent, Mother Nature can throw all kinds of curveballs in that logic. And I mean, you can do anything you want to do, you know, in the 2 weeks leading up to a major championship to try to get the ground conditions where you want them. And all you need is a couple of pop-up thunderstorms, like we had one here last Wednesday, where we get 3/4 inch of rain in about 20 minutes. And now everything's out the window, and you know, you get what you get. And even with the conditions they're having out there now, where it's been, you know, been overcast at times, and the temperatures have been in the 60s, things don't dry out. And so it's all that stuff sounds good on paper, but
right.
Trust me, the weather is going to change everything.
Again, we're talking with former president of the PGA of America and author and one of our favorite guests, Ted Bishop. And, Ted, when you look at Dustin Johnson and what he's done through two rounds in definitely the worst part of the draw, is this, you know, I mean, Dustin Johnson won the U.S. Open a couple years ago, but could this really be the coming out party for Dustin Johnson and turning him into a dominant player a la what we got out of Tiger Woods years ago?
I'll tell you what, it could be, Mark, because obviously he ascended to the number one ranking in the world last week. I thought he put that in great perspective, you know, after he won the tournament. And I watched a little bit of his press conference this week, and you know, you just kind of felt like that it was a goal that he had been trying to achieve. He felt very comfortable with where he was at right now in the game. And if you looked at I saw a tweet that Ted Scott, Bubba Watson's caddy, had this week you know, during the practice rounds, and he was guaranteeing that it was going to be one of the bombers that was going to go out and win this U.S. Open. And when you look at how Dustin's playing right now and his length with that four-shot lead, I was just looking at what the U.S. Open records were for a winning margin, and you know, I mean, he's got a long way to go, you know, to do that. Obviously, Woods won by 15 shots, you know, at one point, and there are two other winners that had won, you know, in double digits, and I don't know that he can get there, but I think that this is going to be a walk in the park for him. I think it's going to be, unfortunately, probably not a really exciting weekend of golf, because I think you're going to see him moving farther and farther away from the pack. And you know, the thing about him, he's just wired up a little bit different. He never really gets, I don't think I've ever seen the guy in the times I was around him at Ryder Cups and, you know, at being at major championships, he just never seems to really get caught up in the moment, so to speak. I mean, he's very even keel, he's got a different mindset than most people do. So, yeah, to your original question, I mean, he could be the dominating player here in the next 2-3 years without question. I mean, it really kind of make a point that he has been up to this point. When you look at it's amazing. This guy's already, what's he won, 18 tour victories?
Something like that, yeah, something 15 or 18 or something like that. Yeah, it's amazing. Well, Ted, man, we always appreciate you coming on with us, and we look forward to talking with you again, and maybe we'll catch up with you around the Carnoustie time.
Okay. Have a good weekend, Mark.